I find it always challenging. Being joyful throughout the month of February can sometimes be a little bit of a challenge, but I certainly think I can recognize and see the value in it every time we do it. It's just a reminder of what's actually needed versus wanted. And then an own check on my heart and a chance to ask the Lord for forgiveness if there's been things that I've sort of coveted or thought that I deserved. Being able to let go of some of those things can be really helpful.
Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss.
All right, listeners to the Abraham's Wallet podcast, you are in for a treat because you are going to get the most beautiful co-host you've ever had on the podcast. She's been here before. It's my wife, Amelia. Amelia, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
We intended to do this, I don't know, 4 days ago. We both had a day off and we were going to do this at that point in time. And we both came down with the plague. So I'm going to do my best. Steven loves it when we do podcasts and I'm trying not to cough. I'm going to probably do a few of those today, but I'm mostly better. And you're, I would say, all better. So
yeah.
Yep.
The reason that you're not getting Steven and Mark is a few things. Steven is in Texas right now handling some family business. And also, Amelia and I just got back. If you're on YouTube, you'll notice her lovely tan. We just got back from our annual goals summit. And we also are really close to Lodo Feb, which is an Abraham's Wallet tradition. Some of you guys have been doing it with us for 7 years now. I hear from some people that this is a life-giving, wonderful rhythm of their year. I hear from some people that they hate this, but they do it anyways because it's good for them. And I hear from some people, we just hate it and we wish you would stop doing it. But I don't know, they feel pressured to do it, so they do it. So wherever you are, we're going to talk a little bit about goal summiting today, and then we're going to talk about Lodo Feb. And my goal is to take just a gasoline can and pour it onto your Lodo Feb tinder so that you're ready to go. Hopefully this gives you some encouragement. But I want to talk first, before we get into the Lodo stuff, about our summit. Because that's something that I think people have largely picked up and started doing on the podcast. It was 2021 when we did our first lay on the beach and almost do nothing else trip. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but that was great. And I previously hated that type of trip. I wanted to be running and doing stuff and adventuring. But since 2021, you and I have kind of made it a thing where we just go for 1 week, lay on the beach, don't do much, and then we'll take our summit nice and slow. We stretch it over 6 or 7 days, so it's not like cramming it in. I thought we would just pull out a few maybe key learnings that we've had as we've summited. In case there's people out there that want to summit or even don't know what a summit is.
I always think of it as an opportunity to reflect back on the year. And it's a chance to kind of thoughtfully review a lot of times the five capitals, the way the last year went. How did we do financially, relationally, spiritually, physically? All the things that we kind of want to assess, and then gives us an opportunity to kind of build and dream going forward. And it was actually really interesting. I have coworkers that I work with that are not Christian. And I shared this with them and they were both like, wow, that seems like a really good idea. They're like, this feels like one of the more adult things that happens. And one of them, who's been married for a really long time, the last time she could remember having a conversation like this with her husband was in premarital counseling 30 plus years ago. So it was an insightful chance for me to realize, like, this doesn't happen a lot unless you really make an effort to set aside time. And there's so much value to it. So it was fun sharing with them that this is what we do. And they were shocked and surprised that this is something married couples did on a regular basis as a chance to kind of really build team and move forward.
I mean, it started out as like summit was a guarantee that there would be fights or arguments. I don't think we had any summit-related fights this time, which was a win. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the mechanics, because if you download the Abraham's Wallet Goals Summit Guide, which is always available to the people who support this podcast, we're a listener-supported podcast, we're a 501c3, so your donations are tax-deductible, and it's occasionally available to everyone else, but Stephen is the evil mastermind behind when those windows open up for you to get access to some of our resources. One of the things that it tells us to do, for example, is to review the past year. And we say, what are we going to keep doing? What are we going to stop doing? And what are we going to start doing? I find that it's very helpful to go through a budget review. So I downloaded all the last 12 months of expenses and said, where are we doing great? Where is our budget actually aligned with what we're trying to go for as a family? And where are we maybe not doing with our money what we claim to be doing with our money? Since you were the recipient of that, I prepared that report. What do you remember from our budget review? Like, where are we killing it and where are we not doing so hot?
I mean, it's the age-old family problem of the grocery budget. It's hard to keep. It requires diligent care and expertise and time. And I would say that's the one that we struggle the most with, which was not a surprise.
And why don't you talk about the solution that we have got in place now that kind of kills multiple birds with one stone? Because I thought that was one of the fun takeaways from our sort of action items from our summit this year, was how to deal with the grocery budget issue and also build some capital into our daughters.
So we had tried this last year for a little while. It was just difficult to keep. But what we realized is if we really pare down the number of meals types that we're cooking, we can clean up our budget quite a bit. So that ends up 10 meals, pretty fixed ingredients, pretty basic, that we can just lay out every week. So there's a little bit of variety, but not a ton. And then one of the big things we realize is we have these wonderful daughters who are actually very good in the kitchen. Our oldest daughter is completely competent, making meals, baking stuff, all that kind of stuff. Our middle daughter is getting there. She really has a strong heart for it. The little one wants to, but still is learning. But our goal is to create in that meal rhythm meals that they're able to independently execute without any help. So actually cook from start to finish. And I think that this is challenging for Mark and I. We like good food. We like things that are a little fancy. And so some of this means that when our 8-year-old's going to cook, it's going to be spaghetti. And it's going to be a salad. And that is something that she can competently do. But it's a fun chance to kind of dream of ways that we can help them have more buy-in to what we're doing. We also talked about breaking off Shabbat budget and having that be a different part of grocery. That's oftentimes where we get a little spendy when we're trying to host or have families over or build fancy meals, trying to kind of separate that out. But the 10-meal rotating schedule really allows us to kind of dial in pretty effectively. And like I said, our goal this year is to kind of get our girls really bought in terms of contributing, because it makes a huge difference when they're a part of everything.
How'd you like that first salmon that the girls cooked for you without any adult help?
I mean, the best part of it is that it was cooked. So there was no concern about foodborne illnesses.
you didn't enjoy it that much. I thought it was okay. But yeah, I thought it was a great move because, I don't know, I talked to a lot of adults who have no idea how to cook. Yeah. And a lot of, like myself, didn't really grow up in a home where I was taught to cook. I picked it up working at restaurants a little bit. But that's something that we value a lot, is sitting around the table and having long meals. And as our kids are getting older, sometimes we fail and sometimes we get to like have that 2-hour Shabbat dinner where we're just sitting having good conversation, enjoying good food. But if we execute this the way we think we can, at least a handful of things our daughters will have on autopilot. So when it's time for them to be providing a food for a family someday, my hope is they've got 10, 15, 20 meals that they just know how to cook really easily and do a really good job, and it's good food. And it's not all spaghetti and meatballs. It's stuff that you and I want to eat. I think Justin Wolfenberg always talks about teaching his kids to make eggs exactly the way he wants them, not just acceptably. So there was coaching when the salmon was a bit overdone.
There was. We made some comments on the seasoning and the cooking length and all that kind of good stuff. So always room for improvement.
Yeah. Other stuff that came out of the summit this year was that we actually kind of looked at our lives and said, we have gotten more stability financially, relationally. We've talked about all this stuff on the podcast. I have, but like there's always for the last few years been some big change thing going on, whether it was church or, you know, relationships or money or job change or anything. In the last year, that none of that has happened. Mm-hmm. And so it's really exciting to look at that and go, okay, Lord, why do we have stability? Like, what are you gonna call us to next? And I think that it's easy to, if we hadn't done that, I don't think I even noticed it. You know what I mean? I think I was like still feeling really busy. I'm definitely no less busy just because things are stable. It's not like I'm twiddling my thumbs, but by putting it all down on paper, I was able to kind of go, wow, we do have some unique stability right now, and we might be able to kind of leverage that towards something next. And so it made you and I's ears both perk up to go, okay, Lord, why did you stabilize our finances and our relationships and our church life and our, you know, even physical health hasn't been up and down this last year like it had in the past for some reason or another. So I thought that was valuable. Was there anything else that you would, like if somebody was just starting a summit and they aren't necessarily going to retreat to a beach in Mexico, which I highly recommend if the financial capital permits it, but I don't think I've ever asked you this on the podcast. What are your like quick tips for new summiters?
I mean, I think we've gotten so much better at it. I think that's the thing that I felt like this summit very specifically is that it was so much easier for us to do this time. I think the first couple of years, an invitation to reflect on your life can be hard at times if there's actual honesty and if there's things that are not going well, you actually have an opportunity to talk about them. So I think our first couple of years of summiting were really hard and kind of, you know, like building up endurance for a race. You have to kind of work through some discomfort to get to a point where you can just kind of sit and cruise. So if you're starting it out, I think my encouragement would be there's going to be points that are tension producing or even conflict producing as you start to really understand what does it mean to function as a team. And then those will get better. It's not that we don't have less conflict all the time, but I think we're much better at functioning as a team. So I felt like with this summit specifically, I was much less defensive in general, even when we're talking about the grocery budget, which is usually a sensitive topic.
You've never been defensive, babe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love going through budgets and having my spending criticized. but I feel like this time around, it felt really encouraging in the sense of, in some ways, it was faster for us because there was so much that we had already kind of worked out. So as you do this the first time, understand that you're building a foundation and you have to kind of dig some stuff out before you get to a spot where you can actually lay that foundation. So, and it was fun. We were chatting with another couple who did theirs this year and they had a new baby. And so their summit looks like a full day at Saturday at home with the new baby, with grandma taking everybody else and then an overnight babysitter. So there's different ways you can do it in different seasons.
Those Staley's.
They dialed it in.
Friends of the Abraham's Wallet podcast.
That's right.
Car detailing wizards.
That's right.
Yes.
So I feel like...
go ahead.
No, I just feel like this year it was, in some ways it was easy. This is the first time it's felt really kind of just like a check-in versus a overhaul.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. I will say Monarch Money, the budgeting tool, is one of the reasons that that's been good because it's really allowed us to both... There wasn't a whole lot of surprises on the budget front. Whereas in the past, because I'm the money guy, it's kind of been like I have my black box of money and then I come and say, here's all the places that we are screwing it up.
Yeah.
And this time We both have like really good visibility into that. So if you are looking for an app and you're a budgeter, which you should be in some way or another, Monarch is a really good one to check out.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of budgets, I think that LodoFib, like I said, for our family has become this really good opportunity, kind of like, I'm not saying that we would ever use fasting as a physical, like a weight loss tool or something, but if you fast for a few days, it resets your system and you don't, you and I ordered like two ginormous everything on them pizzas last night. And I just realized, oh, I can, it hurts to eat more than three slices of this. But if I got after it daily for a week, I could eat like the whole pizza probably. And when you pull back from consumption, which the default is consumption in our culture, it allows you kind of, if you go with my metaphor, your stomach to shrink and for you to feel full with less. And I think that's true of spending just as much as it's true of food. So for me, that's the number one benefit of LodoFeb, is I can say no to myself and actually feel better with less at the end of LodoFeb. Like Amelia said, it's a month, it's the shortest month, so we give you that bonus in which we do our best to spend as little as humanly possible. So my favorite part of this probably is yanking all the food out of the pantry. And it's like, oh, we had a half a container of couscous. I can work with that. Or whatever. It's like there's chicken, canned chicken, and yeah, some corn tortillas. It sounds like enchiladas is coming. And we just work through the pantry. We've in the past struggled, I would say. I have struggled because I am so competitive that I want to always set a new record. And sometimes I have fudged a bit on the like, oh, it's the 31st of January. I'm going to Costco and this is going in the January budget and I'll just stock it up so that I can spend zero in February. I think we do our best not to do that now and actually just to legitimately cut back. And it's also, aside from just like feeling good with less, at the end of the month, our tradition, you don't have to do this to do LodoFeb, but our tradition has been we take each budget category. So if it's like normally we spend $300 on our out to eat and entertainment budgets, but we spent $15 this month because Amelia went to coffee with somebody. Well, then we would take all the delta between $15 and the normal budget and put it into a pile. And we would say, okay, normal grocery budget's $1,500. And we spent $200 this month. So we're going to take that extra and put it in the pile. And we go down the list. Now, some categories you're not going to save on, probably. Your mortgage is still going to probably need to be paid in LodoFeb. But at the end of that list, we have a pile of money, whether it's $400 or $3,000. There's a pile of money that is available. And what we've done our best to do is ask the Lord throughout the month to show us opportunities to be generous with that money. And let me tell you, He's always come through on that one, and we've always had opportunities to bless people with the money that we save. And that savings thing, it's not the main benefit. The main benefit, like I said, is the self-denial and what that does for our souls. But the savings also produces money, and the money is useful to people who need some money. And so that's been a fun way to not just do it for the heck of doing it, but also get our kids involved. They start putting their antenna up and going, man, maybe there's somebody in need around me. Yeah. And that's been really good. So anything else you'd chip in on why we do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an exercise in pulling the muscle that says no. And I think it's really hard. I don't think it matters what income level you're at. I think that in my own life, it certainly reminds me of things that I think I'm entitled to. And it's a good reminder that we don't need all of these things or activities or stuff that we do to actually really make us happy or provide identity. So I find it always challenging. I would say I am a enthusiastic supporter, but being joyful throughout the month of February can sometimes be a little bit of a challenge because we're restricted on what we can do. But I certainly think I can recognize and see the value in it every time we do it as just a reminder, a fresh reminder of what's actually needed versus wanted. And then an own check on my heart and a chance to ask the Lord for, you know, forgiveness if there's been things that I've sort of coveted or thought that I deserved. Being able to let go of some of those things can be really helpful.
Yeah, I canceled the golf simulator membership. So,
and you canceled my house renovation network. Also hard.
Yeah, it's not the same, but your HGTV subscription, I think, was $4 a month. So but maybe that gets us a little bit closer. But yeah, I guess the question I want to ask you for the people who either have done this and they've found it to be miserable, or they're thinking about doing it, it doesn't sound fun. What has moved LodoFeb for you from being like an eye roll, this sucks, I'm not excited about it, to being something you actually are completely on board with and get like, whether it's mechanically, like I do this and I enjoy it, or if it's sort of mental gymnastics you're performing, I don't know. Like, what has moved it to being something you actually are excited about instead of dreading?
I think it's a mix. I think that the Lord has matured me, and I think that in the maturation, there has been a recognition of denial of self being one of the things we're called to. So that will be my like spiritual or religious answer. I also think, you know, I work as a physician and I see that our culture in general, there is no button. Everything is yes. Whatever you want to be, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to eat, whatever you want to look like, however you want to take care of your body, you can just do whatever you want. And there's no sort of recognition that we actually have to put boundaries, and that boundaries are actually what the Lord has given us because he's kind to us, not because he is someone that tries to prevent us from enjoying things. So I think in my own heart, I can see the benefit of flexing the no muscle in a way that we don't often get to as Americans specifically. Certainly not, like I said, as far as what I see in terms of just the way that people take care of themselves and what health looks like. There's a lot of just do whatever you want. Just, you know, say yes to everything. And so I want to fight that as much as I can in my own heart, but also in my own family, that there's going to be a culture that looks different than what the rest of the world looks like. I mean, we're told that our boundaries fall in good places. And so I think being able to see a boundary means you have to say no to whatever's beyond that boundary. And LodoFeb is kind of an exercise that everybody can get on board with recognizing that, even the kids.
And it's not all misery.
No.
I think I'm going to go through, I just reached into my desk drawer here, babe. This kind of giving away something that I usually save as a surprise. But we're here on the air, so why not? There will be date nights during LodoFeb.
There will be, yes.
Look at this. $50 at Fossil Taqueria.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have a little gift card for $75 for Vessel Kitchen hidden away in my wallet for just such a day. Also, waiting for a date night in LodoFeb.
$50 at Cecilia Mia. Now, this one's going to be tricky because a gift card during LodoFeb can get you in trouble. Mia, you can eat there for $50 if you get like a pizza.
We're getting pizzas there. That's what's happening with $50.
But you can't get, I mean, you can also spend $250 for two people here if you go get steaks and wine.
Easy.
So, you got to be careful with that.
Yep.
Outback Steakhouse, $100. I've already been on their website and I have realized I can just go get some to-go steaks, save on the tip, and $100 will feed us some steak for the family one night in Lodo Feb. That'll be a treat.
I mean, Outback Steakhouse, though, the true question is how many bloomin' onions can you get for $100? Because that's really, that's your bang for your buck. Many.
And then I've got this one, 25 at Starbucks.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Because sometimes I use these types of gift cards. Steven's known for like even an REI gift card. He'll turn into energy bars to feed himself during Lodo Feb. Starbucks, my norm with a $25 Starbucks gift card would be to get like 10 drip coffees. But that's not very nutritious. And I can make a drip coffee at home. Yeah. I guess I'm going to need to be buying no fancy coffee in the month of February. Ooh. So that's going to be a little sad.
That's going to be sad.
You have to drink the burnt junk that you make.
Yeah. I mean, the darker, the better. I don't know what to say.
Gross. Okay. We're coming up on our time, but I guess as you guys are thinking about doing this, I would just tell you that whether it's Lodo Feb or not, although if you listen to this podcast a lot, you've probably done it before. And this is your first year. Praise God, our audience has grown in the last year. So there's a lot of new people. It just has become a fun family tradition. And even for families we know who do it, who they kind of make a big show of how much they hate doing it, it's still sort of a fun family tradition, I think, for them. It's like, some families do the turkey trot on Thanksgiving, even though nobody really likes running. And they're all like, oh, we got to go run the 5K on Thanksgiving morning. That's how Lodo Feb kind of acts. And so our kids are already kind of thinking about it. And it's a little bit of excitement because, well, what are we going to eat?
Who knows? Yep, that's right.
And some of it is a little bit artificial, like, there might be a big purchase. I know that one year I bought a truck on the second day of Lodo Feb. That was unfortunate because my car broke and I needed a car. I couldn't go to the end of the month. But there's other times that I might have my eye on some purchase and it's not going to be any cheaper in 30 days, but I'm just kind of like, I'm going to say no to it for 30 days. And we've talked about this before, but sometimes at the end of 30 days, you go, I didn't actually want that thing that I was kind of focused on.
Yeah.
I would just encourage you that, A, give it a try. If you're a single person, you've never done this, you might be able to go real low. Back in the day that I was working tech startups, I would just raid the snack fridge. And there was days that we had hummus and veggies for dinner. Or there's leftover pizza in the break room. I'm scooping that up and bringing it home. That's Lodo Feb dinner.
That's right.
But if you have a family, even more reason to do this, because I think, again, you could be the most austere family that we know, and you're still swimming in this current of constant consumption. And this is one of the tools that we've found that just resets. And my guess is that if somebody who was from a place that did not have the opulence that we have all around us came and observed us during Lodo Feb, they'd go, are you crazy? This is you not spending? You're still spending so much money.
Totally.
We will have to discuss, though, like, what's the thermostat going to be during Lodo Feb? 65?
I mean, if we can drop it overnight to, you know, the balmy 59 to 60, I'm willing to compromise during the day.
Oh, okay. You're weird. You like it like 70 in the day and 40 at night.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay. I mean, I think my encouragement would be, especially for the moms and the wives out there, your heart towards this will make it or break it. I think if you are naggy and downcast, sort of like when in the Bible it talks about when you fast, you're not supposed to wander around and be so obvious that you're fasting and look miserable. I think there's a little bit of carryover into Lodo Feb too, that this is actually an opportunity for you to be a cheerful wife and mother even in a circumstance that feels maybe a little bit uncomfortable. I think this goes real sideways for families when you have one partner that is delighted to try and wants to be silly and maybe creative and trying to get the kids on board, and then you have one giant turd sauce who's not encouraging. I think that can make it considerably less fun and meaningful for everybody. So I think there's a sense of setting your heart to, hey, this is something we're going to do as a family. How can we make it fun? How can we make it engaging without being oppressive? Because when we are called to deny ourselves, we're not called to make it so obvious that everyone looks at us and can admire how wonderfully self-denying we're being. So there's this balance. But I think for me, that's been helpful to sort of walk into it and say, hey, this is a month. Like, this is going to be fun. It's going to be a little silly. We're going to do some weird stuff with food. How can we all get bought in? And that's made a huge difference in my own enjoyment and willingness to participate, this kind of really committing to it.
Yeah, that's great. And you have always been a huge blessing to our family during Lodo Feb, because I don't know if you've always felt on board, but you've always been a huge supporter. So
oh, good.
That has made it better. So guys, wives, if you're listening, husbands, if you're even considering this is me putting a big foot on your back and shoving you forward and saying, give it a go. Join us for Lodo Feb. If for some reason we didn't get this episode out until the month has already started, you are allowed to start now.
Just start planning.
Give it a go. Yep. And like Amelia said, do Lodo Feb with joy. And I think you will, it's like, it will unlock things for you that if you just begrudge your way through it, may not happen. So we're with you. We're doing it. We're going to have days where we wake up and don't want to do it at all. But we're thinking of all of you. And so here's a tool. Like I said, it's just a tool to help you run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. And we'll be back with our regular crew next time. This is Abraham's Wallet. Thanks for listening.